Finance Committee going to executive session under Uniform Rule 22B for discussion of matters, the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of the state, or which may by law be required to be confidential, and request that those permitted to participate be all members of this committee, and Jim Baldwin with the AG's office, Commissioner Keller, Darrell Rexwinkle, Milt Barker, and Royce Weller.
And any other legislators,
House or Senate.
Without objection.
So that shouldn't be today.
An act relating to permits for the hunting of bison and providing for an effective date. Harvey, you have to state your name for the record. And
do I need to?
Nope, not on teleconference.
For the record, my name is Marlene Palmer, and I'm a staff person to Senator Virginia Collins, who has just arrived.
Good timing. I saw the bison.
Which one?
Bison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I know that you had a long, interesting session today, and you're running behind schedule, so I'll be very brief. Basically, Senate Bill 116 would increase the application fee for a drawing permit in the state's other two drawing permit bison areas, the Farewell and the Chitna. The fee is currently $5, and this increase would make the fee consistent with that of the current $10 fee for the Delta Junction Range area. The fee increase would be effective with the 1992 fall hunt, since 1992 spring hunt is anticipated for either the Farewell or Chitna herds. There is a positive fiscal note, which starts in fiscal year 93 and is anticipated to increase annually. SB 116 is supported by the Department of Fish and Game, the Alaska State Muzzle Loading Association, the McKinley Mountain Muzzle Loading Rifle Club, the Midnight Sun Muzzle Loaders Incorporated, and the Alaska Outdoor Council. Appreciate your time and consideration of this bill, and would appreciate your support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions? Representative Boyle.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out Senate Bill 116 with individual recommendations. Andy, can we just one out?
Are there objections? Without objection, so moved. Next bill to take up is House Bill 163, an act extending the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, providing for an effective date.
Can we say what bill we're going to start with?
Psychologist.
Psychologist.
163. In their lives.
You're not that old, are you?
Careful.
Yep, not yet.
Not yet.
Getting there by the minute. Yeah, the total cost of this board is about $30,000 a year, and they take in $12,000. There's a letter of intent from the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee that I guess is in line with what we've been talking about, and that is making sure that they examine them to make sure that they pay the cost of their board. And there is one other change in the qualification for examination, doubling the number of credit hours in graduate work from 24 to 48 hours. That's on page 2, line 2. And this simply extends them to 1995. Sure. How did that
24
to 48 get in there?
Was it
standing committee recommendation?
It was actually, I think, proposed by the original. No, actually, it must have been added by the committee.
Standing committee.
Yeah.
HB.
And the budget or the audit report does recommend extending. Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out CS for House Bill 163 Hess with individual recommendations and the fiscal note and also the Hess letter of intent.
Their objection? Without objection, so moved. Next bill will take up Senate Bill 177. Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Chairman Navarro, members of the committee. I'm here on behalf and at the behest of Senator Cotton. This bill is fairly straightforward. It appropriates $242,000 to the Blood Bank of Alaska for type testing of potential bone marrow donors. This is a one-time appropriation. Intended to augment or jumpstart an incredible volunteer effort that's going on within our state. Within in this building alone, a couple weeks ago, during Bone Marrow Donor Awareness Week, 300 people signed up, paid their own money. Matter of fact, some folks paid, others couldn't afford. There is a significant effort. 1,300 people have signed up in Alaska since late January, since this effort started. Three matches have occurred. Frankly, it's not enough, fast enough. In order for somebody to be able to beat the statistical odds, you have to pump up the numbers in the Merrill Registry. That's what this is, an attempt to increase the numbers in a manner that volunteer efforts aren't able to do.
Any questions for Mr. Schultz? Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Is there anyone else who wanted to testify on the bill? Discussion by the committee? Representative Boyd.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out Senate Bill number 177 with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Without objection, Senate Bill 177 moves from committee. Next bill we'll take up is House Bill 152. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on testimony that was given at the finance hearing, together with the subcommittee discussions and additional discussions with HFC, we prepared the attached revised CS for consideration by the full committee. Mr. Chairman, this draft CS is fully responsive to concerns that were previously expressed. As you'll recall, the essential objectives we were trying to achieve were to ensure greater coordination of housing programs in our state and broader representation of unmet needs in the state's housing policy making, and to direct additional state resources toward addressing the unmet needs, particularly low, moderate income, and for individuals of low and moderate income and with special housing needs, such as the homeless, the mentally ill, the disabled, and the elderly. There were concerns expressed that the bill, as previously drafted, would have perhaps not adequately been responsive to HFC and ASHA and their unique requirements, that it could have possibly had an adverse impact on HUD or HUD's regard for ASHA as a suitable contractor, that the concept of the trust might not be adequate to meet the needs that are out there, and finally that HFC's bond council indicated concern about drawing on the unrestricted reserves of HFC. In your packet, you'll find the proposed CS. This addresses this problem in a slightly different way. It proposes to expand the composition of the HFC board from the current 7 members to a total of 9 members. And one of these members would be the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs, which, as you know, has the housing programs within that department and yet is not tied in with the other housing programs. Would also have a real estate broker, a representative of the financial community, a representative of regional housing authorities, 2 representatives of special housing needs, and 1 public member. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, the board would establish a planning commission, the Alaska State Housing Planning Commission, that would essentially just be these 2 boards, ASHA and AHFC. This would be within the Department of Commerce, and it would be a coordinating body for housing programs responsible for developing a five-year housing plan. This responds to the apprehension that formally replacing the governing board of ASHA with the Housing Commission could impair ASHA's positive working relationship with the federal government, and specifically this embraces a recommendation made by HUD. The commission would not cost additional dollars, but would use the staff and resources of the agencies, HFC, ASHA, and DCRA. Finally, it would amend the powers of AHFC to direct that the corporation, in consultation with the Planning Commission, provide funding to public agencies and private nonprofit organizations. Assistance could be used to finance the design, construction, development, rehabilitation, or improvement of low to moderate income and special needs housing. This CS would not put in statute the dividend policy that was discussed, that was recently adopted by the AHFC board, nor would it require the calculation of unrestricted revenues or assets. It would essentially, Mr. Chairman, leave those resources within the AHFC totally and allow them to use them to meet unmet needs subject to regulations that they would adopt and under the guidance provided by the Housing Commission. I think this will accomplish several objectives. It will expand the representation for people of low and moderate income on the AHFC board, and therefore we'd have better coordination in development of AHFC's initiatives, and there'd also be better coordination with what's going on in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. The Planning Commission, which would be for planning purposes only, would give us this ongoing mechanism to get a cohesive, coordinated state housing policy. All the major players would be present on the commission, and yet they would retain their autonomy. And I believe that this will work and will be a successful approach. Under this approach, there's no need for HB 153, which was the companion appropriation measure, because as I described, the money stays within AHFC. The three affected agencies have revised their fiscal notes, which you should also have in your packet. AHFC has a 15.2 fiscal note for per diem and travel for the two new board members. These are other funds, not general funds, and the other agencies have provided zero fiscal notes on the revised proposed committee substitute. So I appreciate very much the work of Representative Omer and Barnes and Larson, who served on the subcommittee, and I commend this bill to the full committee. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Also, I'm informed that Representative McClain would like to propose an amendment that would ensure that rural needs are adequately addressed.
Has this been distributed?
It is now being distributed. I have no objection to this amendment, Mr. Chairman. This would, at page 2, line 12, provide that one of these members of special representing special housing needs would be a rural resident, and would on page 4 at line 23, the duties of the commission, we would just specify there that that would include an assessment of need in rural, underdeveloped, or blighted areas of the state, which are the terms of art now used in the statute. Regarding the duties that AHFC has.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My comments will be brief. I concur with the report that's given by Representative Brown and would report and would point out that we work extensively with these agencies and revenue to come up with a bill that everyone could live with. So I believe it is a workable bill.
Does Alaska Housing and ASHA have a written position paper on this bill?
I have just received one from AHFC. I do not have anything from ASHA.
Mr. Chairman, if I recall, the former director of ASHA was, put it mildly, concerned about this bill.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't this bill.
Every day the things are out so different. Much more in those
streets. It's a completely different bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Brown.
Representative Phillips, this, in fact, would take the recommendations of the former director of ASHA in that their autonomy is totally maintained, and I believe we've fully addressed the concerns that Mr. Price raised in his testimony.
No, it's the same bill.
Yeah, it's the same bill. I remember it.
It's revised quite a bit. As the committee will recall, the prior version would have replaced the two existing boards with a new commission. And that is now those existing boards remain. They come together for planning purposes only once a year, and that's a coordinating mechanism as it's proposed in the draft before you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd feel a little more comfortable if I had written positions from those two agencies and then from us.
It might be my intention to, with the recommendation of the subcommittee, move the bill out of committee and I'll ask Representative Brown to try to get some written opinions, because I would expect the bill to be on the floor in a relatively short period of time. Representative Copeland.
Yes, sir. Did you consider setting any standards for weather frequency and things, with some general standards that they board should consider, or
for energy efficiency?
Yeah, of the buildings, well, the standards that they're going to use for the construction or the houses that they would under, right?
We did previously, the answer was no, the subcommittee did not get into that, but previously we did adopt standards for energy efficiency and state financed housing. That was a proposal that passed last year, and so I believe that aspect is covered.
They will conform to those.
Yes, they have to in order to provide state assistance.
Some of the people who were looking at this were interested in self-managed housing, co-housing, some of the senior citizens and the like, and other groups. How is that dealt with here?
Mr. Chairman, that will certainly be possible, and that is what we're envisioning, would be partnerships, participation by nonprofits. The language is broad and will allow HFC to work on some of these innovative ideas to meet working with community groups, nonprofits, housing authorities to address these needs, and it does authorize them to make to have financial participation in arrangements of that type. That language, Representative, appears on page 2, beginning at line 28.
Are there further questions for Representative Brown? I don't have anyone else signed up to testify on the bill today. Pleasure to committee with regard to the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt the CS.
Okay. Is there objection to adopting the CS? Okay, we have before CS for House Bill 152.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move it from committee with amendment.
There is one amendment.
I will move the amendment. Go ahead. I'll move the amendment that's before you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there objection? Representative Sharp.
Would that the amendment preclude or give the possibility of both being rural? That would appear that it would, possibility.
Well, it says, Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to the amendment, the question about the amendment. As I read the amendment, it would say one of the two would be rural.
Yeah, I read it that way too, but it doesn't. But it's, some of the governor's appointments we've had over the years on both sides are very liberal in their interpretation. As long as we've got, okay, if it's felt that just allocates one will be rural, let's assume the other one will be urban.
Yeah, only problem I have with that is the definition of rural. Not very well defined in our statutes.
I didn't want to mention that.
Question?
Is there a continued objection? Without objection, the amendment is adopted. Representative Ullman.
I will move that we move 152.
Representative Phillips.
on page 2, lines 23 to 26, each board member is going to receive actual expenses at the time the board is paid plus $100.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is the provision in existing law. The only reason that this appears here is to affect and get the numbering correct because we are affecting the section, so I'm not real familiar with that part, Representative Phillips.
No further objection?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to oppose this for the time being without getting an official statement from either. Well, I don't think I got it. Alaska Housing's position paper.
There's no amendment.
We already passed.
Are you going to, do you want to object to moving it out of committee or have it reflected on the
Mr. Chairman, report? Could you stand at ease a minute and let me check in my office and see if I have a written position
form? Okay, the committee will stand at ease.
With all these people over the last few days, and if the committee would like, I'd be happy to have him testify as to what they've indicated to him most recently about this version. This version has been available for several days, and we have shared it with the agencies, and the information is before you.
Mr. Chairman.
We also had testimony from Mr. Wolfworth, the bond counsel, who had the most serious concerns at our major hearing on it. And he testified at the subcommittee that his concerns were addressed.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I went into my office to see if we had a written position, and we don't. Mel offered to tell Randy what they told her, but he would rather have something in writing, so she has gone back to ask them to go ahead and fax us down something in writing.
Okay.
But, and we'll make that available to Randy.
Okay. There's a motion to move the bill out of committee. Is there continued objection?
Mr. Chairman, yeah. And, you know, part of...
Representative Phillips.
This bill's been around a long time, Mr. Chairman. And I don't control the clock around here. But all of a sudden, we're getting the position papers marked May 7th, which I just got about 3 minutes ago. So if I'm going to make a responsible decision, I need to know. That's the point.
Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Kopanen?
Yes.
Representative Larson?
Yes.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp?
Yes.
Representative Ballmer?
Yes.
Representative Boyer?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Barr?
Yes. House Bill 152 passes from committee with individual recommendations. The next bill we'll take up is House Bill 306.
A sanctuary. No.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Last time we had discussed this piece of legislation, there was suggestions by the Department of Fish and Game that on page 3, line 5 and 6, that the hunting of brown bears within the McNeil State Refuge is prohibited, and they wanted to take that out. One of the problems that we have here, Mr. Chairman, is in order to get the fish ladder built, the attorney for the Corps of Engineers actually feels that this would be a key ingredient to get people to agree on the Friends of McNeil to accept and withdraw their injunction against the building of the fish ladder. One other thing, too, some people say, well, the hunting of brown bears, and it's kind of interesting, Mr. Chairman, that's from 1961 through about 1988, there were 42 brown bears harvested in that area. Now, when I say that area, I'm talking about the whole area around this area here from Broome Bay on down. And all of the hunting that took place in there were by non-residents. And I would hate to see this removed just for the sake of some Swiss psychiatrist or some European businessman or Japanese businessman to go up there and bust a brown bear in the ribs. One of the things that I think also is important in here too, there are some groups, I guess the Outdoor Council is concerned about hunting in the refuge itself. Hunting is allowed. You can hunt ptarmigan, you can hunt moose, you can hunt, I guess there's some caribou there once in a while, you can hunt ducks, you can hunt whatever you like, except brown bear, and that's why this is being established. So I'd recommend, Mr. Chairman, that you and the committee do not look favorably upon removing this section from the bill, because it's key in the negotiation for Friends of McNeil. And if the fishing groups, the commercial fishermen, as well as the Friends of McNeil and other people who appreciate wildlife, in particular the brown bear, are pitted against a handful of people who want to shoot brown bear, I guess I would have to take that risk and see what the public thinks. Our concern here is that there not eventually be a situation where we create or allow entry in the beginning for some people to start guiding. And there's another criticism I get is, well, shouldn't the Board of Game do this sort of thing? Well, Mr. Chairman, for 7 years I've been trying to get the Board of Game to stop the shooting and harvesting of brown bear at garbage dumps. They kept saying that they were going to do it. Finally, Mr. Chairman, last year, with many of your help at this table here, we simply passed a law saying that you may not shoot a brown bear within a half mile of a dump. And there are some things that I think are important in order to make everybody satisfied with the uniqueness of the sanctuary as well as the refuge. And I guess that's my main point I'm concerned about.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe Mr. Holdsworth is going to testify later, and working with him, I have a suggested amendment that I believe will satisfy the concerns of the speaker.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Holdsworth and I did talk in the back of the room, and he said, how about this? And I said, flat out, no. And he looked at me, and then I explained that there is the very lake that the sockeye are going to be in, that little tip there. There's going to be a second fish ladder there. The report by Fish and Game indicates that in the shallow areas there, this is probably where the concentration of brown bear would be. And the very area that he wanted or suggested taking out, which I think that Mr. Holdsworth sees now, is exactly that little lake up here that's going to be the main brood area for the sockeye. And that's why this has to be. See, all these little riverlets and things that finger down and then into the main Paint River, this would be crucial. If bears do move from the sanctuary and finding a new food source, this is the area. If you look at a contour map and look at it close, you know that this is the logical concentration of bears where it's going to be. Originally, I wanted to put that in the sanctuary too, but was willing to understand the needs of other people that wanted to use that area.
Representative Brown.
No. I was just going to ask Representative Larson, or the speaker either, what does this amendment do? It looks to me like it's adding something to the refuge, right? Not taking something out? Or am I confused?
Are you talking about the suggestion that Representative Larson is saying as handed to him by Phil Holdsworth? No, he wanted to take out a section.
It's the Larson amendment that was distributed. It's page 2, line 17. It inserts some sections, 1, 12, and 13, 24, 25.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that should be inserted.
But what it would do presently, it's simply like sections 1 to 36. What the amendment would have done is made it only those sections within that township, instead of being all-inclusive of all 36. It would only be those that listed section 1, Section 12 and 13, Section 24, 25, and then Sections 29 to 36. So it would be deleting some of the area.
And, Mr. Chairman, that would be the crucial area of what the whole thing is really about.
Are there further questions for the speaker?
Mr. Chairman, do you have this series of amendments in your packet?
Well, Mr. Chairman, while that's being passed down,
yes,
I think that the my interest in that mineral entry question has been addressed, and I think it was the intent of Mr. Holdsworth to kind of more take care of that that problem. But yesterday, in the amendment that we adopted that deleted the mineral entry requirement, or mineral entry closure requirement, allows for enough flexibility with DNR to make that determination in the future, whether or not that the mining is a compatible use, whether or not there were conflicts with the habitat and the bears in particular. And so I feel some comfort. I know that Mr. Holdsworth was seeking, and Representative Larson was seeking, to give additional protection to the mining and the existing claims in that area. But we heard from the commissioner yesterday that it was not his intent to restrict that future mining opportunity either. So I feel that there's some comfort or some protection for that industry to take place there.
Mr. Chairman, are you seeking a motion for this amendment? And if so, I will move it.
Yes. I think we got more people on the table.
Yeah. This amendment is basically technical amendments to the bill.
Well, can we take care of it?
Pardon?
Can we just maybe move it and adopt it?
Is there objection to the adoption of this amendment? This one,
the second one. The one that deletes the lieutenant governor.
There's no objection. That amendment's adopted. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Bill Holdsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth, speaking for the Miners Association. In your last meeting, of course, you did take out the refusal to have mineral entry in the refuge so that it infers that you have access. And we believe that that language is not clear. It doesn't actually say that you can, that the Fish and Game and DNR can provide access for anything beyond the definitions in subsections 1 and 2. It has to match that. And that's where the concern was. And so I looked at the possibility of where that the mining claims which are in there now were in relation to the boundaries of the refuge, and it being on the very north part of it, northwest corner, suggested the possibility of eliminating that one portion of the township out of the refuge. And then when I find out about the fish ladder and the lake there, which is quite important, incidentally, that one lake up there has the mining claims right at it. And it's rather interesting. But that was the reason for this, and I kind of feel that that should be made a little more clear that the management of the area can accept mineral entry with the proper controls as established by the management. I think that language ought to be corrected.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification then, at this time you feel that your concerns can be handled through the management and that the amendments would not be necessary?
Providing the language as to the management ability clearly spells out that mineral entry could be involved. That goes beyond the what's allowed in subsections 1 and 2 and lines, page 2, lines 27 on through there. It really doesn't say that. It says that everything has to comply with sections 1 and 2. Well, mining doesn't comply with that. And I think that's important, that if we're going to remove the elimination of mining, and allow entry, it certainly have to be some language that allows management to allow that entry.
Representative Sharp.
Just through the chair, it's my understanding, in response to a question I asked yesterday, that mining in the McNeil River State Game Sanctuary is presently prohibited, but the way I read the statutes, it's allowed to the same extent that it is on Walrus Island, and Walrus Island says that it's open for mineral leasing. So we are also, this is a new mineral restriction, and it is not on the books, it's being put on there by this legislation. And that was my understanding yesterday when we talked about it.
In the sanctuary?
Yes. Section 162170 says applicability of other laws relating to administration, multiple use, and sale and lease of the Walrus Island State Game Sanctuary apply also with respect to McNeil River State Game Sanctuary. When you look at the statutes, it's a mineral leasing law. You just can't sell.
Any other questions, comments?
My question then is just a statement that this does in fact remove from mineral entry the total acreage of the sanctuary from mineral entry, and that was not the case, is not the case present. Whether there's any mineral in there or not, I don't know. I haven't seen anything on mineral assessment or anything else on this total of 160,000 acres we're talking about.
Mr. Holder, do you have any comment about mineral
I might clarify that. The AS 2170 on page 4 speaks to the McNeil sanctuary as different from the refuge. And that section 162170 was changed from your original bill, which was 162160, which really was already in the statute and spoke to those islands that Representative Sharp just mentioned. And finally, it was corrected here, and they gave it a new section. So that is something absolutely new, contrary to.
Are there further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Boyer.
The mineral closing, mineral rights or mining rights section of the current law would provide for a closing of this area, and that's what the commissioner testified to yesterday, that he would prefer, instead of being mandated to close the area to mineral entry, to have that opportunity to review and determine whether or not there were compatible uses, i.e. mining and the habitat for the bears. And so he asked for that general opportunity to have the opportunity to have the ability to review that compatibility. And apparently, absent a finding or a classification under 3805-300, the actual land classification process, that the commissioner could not close the land mineral entry. Not, my question to Mr. Holdsworth is whether or not in that classification of land exercise, I mean, that would be a public hearing process and there would be notice and the questions of access would come up in that process. Is that correct? So as long as that process is protected, do you find comfort with the provisions of the bill?
Well, as I read the sanctuary itself is different than the, of course, the.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The game refuge is distinct from the sanctuary.
Mr. Chairman.
So that you have to consider that.
Didn't we take out the section yesterday relating to the refuge?
We took it out in the refuge. It's still in the section of the bill on page 4.
We took it out on page 3, lines 13 and 14.
Yes, that was deleted. But I think Mr. Holdsworth, his comments are now focusing on mineral entry into the sanctuary. Is that correct?
No.
No. That's Mr. Sharp.
Okay.
lines, page 2, lines 27 through sections 1 and 2 onto, and through to page 3 through that particular section. It doesn't seem to give authority to approve, management approve, actual mineral entry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would suppose that since it's the intent of the department to look at whether or not those values are in fact compatible, that it might make sense, as you've just suggested, to amend subsection 3 on the top of the page in that string of things which may be provided for, provide opportunities that are compatible with. In that string, you might add the phrase mining entry.
Mineral entry, rather,
I think.
I think that's a good amendment.
But Mr. Chairman, I think that it would be appropriate that it follow trapping, perhaps. So it would be hunting, comma, trapping, comma, and mineral entry. I think that that probably preserves at least the opportunity to look at that in a compatible use environment.
Is there objections to that amendment?
I don't think it was grammatically correct, but could you state it again?
It would just follow in this
trapping.
Delete the word.
You'd have
and
to delete and.
That's what I said. It would follow hunting, comma, trapping, comma, and mineral entry.
Your objection. Without objection, that amendment's adopted. Thank you, Mr. Orwell. Ed Grasser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ed Grasser, and I'm here representing the Alaska Outdoor Council. Overall, we're not opposed to House Bill 306. However, we are opposed to the restrictions or the banning of brown bear hunting in the bill. As an organization, the Alaska Outdoor Council represents over 10,000 members, and among our members, we have affiliate clubs from around the state. Two of those clubs happen to be made up of professional hunting guides, and some of those guides use this area for brown bear hunting. So although maybe no residents have taken a brown bear in this area in all those years, it does have some economic viability for certain Alaskans. The couple of things that we're uncomfortable with is we feel it's not a proper precedent to set with a state game refuge to ban any kind of hunting in the refuge, number one. Number two, we're concerned that this precedent may also occur elsewhere where there's already a non-hunting activity or a non-hunting designation that may be expanded for other similar reasons. There's already millions of acres in Alaska that are banned for all hunting. Areas larger than some states, and as we all know, the hunting controversy and the allocations between different user groups within the hunting community has sparked quite a bit of debate in the legislature and elsewhere in Alaska. So we feel it's not right to ban hunting unless there's a biological reason to do so. And as far as we can tell, and from our discussions with the department, there isn't any biological reason to ban brown bear hunting in this instance. It seems that the only reason that we want to ban brown bear hunting here is for somebody's aesthetic value. And I think it's a poor policy to legislate one aesthetic value over another where the populace of Alaska is concerned. I think it's also interesting to note, even though there's a small number of bears been taken here, this happens to be in an area where the brown bear season is every other regulatory year. Which means this spring there wasn't a brown bear season. There will be this fall and next spring, but then there will be a spring and fall in between that where there isn't any brown bear season again. So basically, you have a whole off year already where there's no hunting taking place of brown bears in this area. And that's been the case for several years now. Lastly, having been involved in brown bear hunting myself ever since I was a little boy, most of us that have been out there and been involved with bear hunting know that brown bears tend to den elsewhere than in the areas that they actually feed in. So it's quite probable that the bears that are currently using McNeil, probably some of them are denning over in Paint River right now. That's quite likely, and probably they're already being hunted right now. Nobody's raised this flag before. Obviously, there's going to be some more bears in the area as the fish population increases with the use of the fish ladder and things like that. Maybe there might be some increased bear hunting. But here again, the bear hunting season is in early May and late October. And I think the fish runs and the viewing season are at a completely different time. With those in mind, I think we have a couple amendments we'd like to propose to the bill. The First Amendment is in the part of the bill, page 2, line 25. Having looked at some other state refuge language, we thought it might be a good idea to change this so that it's more in line with other refuges where hunting is allowed, by the way. And it should, line 26 would read, after McNeil River State Game Refuge is established, too, it would read, is established to provide for the conservation of brown bears and other fish and wildlife populations and their habitats so that these resources may be maintained, enhanced, and utilized on the sustained yield principle. The other, I guess, amendment we'd like to propose is the amendment that we've been seeking, and that is to, on page 3, line 3, exclude the sentence, the hunting of brown bears within McNeil River State Game Refuge is prohibited from the bill. I guess the last thing that I'd like to comment on is, as I understand it, the fish ladders got some funding and needs to have some opportunity to go ahead in the near future. And the Friends of McNeil lawsuit, I guess, has that in some jeopardy. We've already discussed getting into that lawsuit, and I think are moving forward on that. And if this passes and they drop their lawsuit, I think we would continue with ours because we're concerned with the loss of public use of the resources in that area and the impact on our user groups. So I think we'd pursue that lawsuit even if President Neal didn't, if this bill continues the way it is. So it'd still probably jeopardize the fish ladder as far as the lawsuit argument is concerned. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I just have a question with regard to your last comment. You currently have a lawsuit?
No, we've discussed it with our attorney, and we're getting prepared to file it pending what happens with this bill.
So if this bill passes, you'll file a lawsuit?
Probably.
In its present form.
Right? In its present form.
And,
on page 3, lines 5 and 6, if this was deleted, would that lawsuit still be pending?
Lines 5 and 6 on page 3?
Right.
No, that's our major concern with this bill. We don't think that there's any biological data or any other reason to ban brown bear hunting in this area,
so
other than somebody thinks that's what they want.
And so if that was deleted, then...
Then we would have no reason to go forward with
the
lawsuit.
That's the point of contention, right?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd offered that amendment yesterday. Is that right?
No.
To delete that section?
No. There was a discussion. No one made the motion.
No one moved it. I don't
think. Okay.
Is there further questions, Mr. Grassley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. David Kellyhouse.
Chairman Navarre, thank you. Dave Kellyhouse, I'm the Director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on House Bill 306. We've consistently opposed the language in Section 3C. On my copy now, it's page 2, lines 5 and 6, which would prohibit the hunting of brown bears within the Neal River State Game Refuge. We concur with the speaker that brown bear hunting within the expanded sanctuary would be warranted on the lower Paint River system. We've also had discussions whereby some two parcels of ground on the south side of the sanctuary would be available for trade to the federal government, probably Katmai National Park, to acquire access to other state lands elsewhere. Those lands, too, would be closed to bear hunting. However, in the refuge to the north, in the Paint River system, we think the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Game has amply demonstrated an ability to manage bear hunting and bear viewing simultaneously, and we've done a good job on both. The speaker pointed out that the harvest of bears over the last two decades has been quite low. But I'd offer you to consider that with a run of 1.5 to 1.5 million salmon in the Paint River drainage, as a biologist, which I am, I'm not a professional bureaucrat, I am a biologist, I think we could reasonably expect an increased bear population, quite a healthy increase in the bear population in the Paint River drainage, that would then increase the economic impact of brown bear hunting in that area without jeopardizing bear viewing opportunities in McNeil. For that reason, we do oppose the inclusion of the prohibition against brown bear hunting in the refuge. And that's the crux of my comments.
Any questions?
I would like to offer one more thing. Right now, like any confrontation, it looks like a win-lose type situation. What I'm maintaining, if this is managed correctly, and I think, again, we have a track record of good management, we can have a win-win-win situation. We can have salmon introduced into the Paint River system. We can protect and probably even enhance the viewing opportunities in the McNeil River Sanctuary, which is now being expanded, and with care, create a new industry in the Northern Paint River District. And we can be in a win-win-win situation with all the groups that are vying for exclusive resource use on this issue. And that's the end of it.
Mr. Kellyhouse, we've heard that the Outdoor Council, if this bill passes in its present form, would intend to sue. And have you had the opportunity to talk to the Friends of McNeil to determine whether or not eliminating this language and perhaps going with language directing the State Board to make a determination on whether or not bear hunting in the refuge would be prohibited, whether or not that kind of language directing the board would force them to maintain a position in the lawsuit?
I have not personally talked to the Friends of McNeil. Deputy Commissioner Somerville has been shepherding this bill during the session. He's going to Anchorage tomorrow to talk with the Friends of McNeil. It's very much a checkmate type situation right now, and I wouldn't profess to talk on his behalf on what Friends of McNeil may or may not do, but it's quite obvious from the input that we've received into our division of wildlife conservation that emotions are relatively high on both sides of the issue. I'm maintaining I think we can do a balancing act and satisfy all their legitimate concerns.
Mr. Sharp.
Through the chair, do you have any recollection? I thought there was information out that Alaska Outdoor Council, Friends of McNeil, the department, the commercial fish ladder people, more or less had signed off on a proposal that would allow the refuge establishment with hunting. There was no discussion about mineral entry at that time, I guess, as far as I recall, being transmitted to me. And that's the way the bill was originally introduced, and then went through a committee or two, and then we all of a sudden we got the mineral withdrawal, we got no hunting, we got a lot of other things in there that I didn't think was part of the original sign-off. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you don't know whether that's right or wrong, but that was the impression I got. That's where I think we're running into trouble there.
What was the original agreement?
Representative Sharp, I wouldn't profess to know what the original agreement was, but it was my impression that initially hunting wasn't unilaterally going to be disallowed. That was something that I became aware of at a later date. But as far as the original drafting of the bill, I can't speak to that.
Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I had yesterday proposed an amended subsection C there, and let me just try it out again for members. On page 3, subsection C, I would propose that we amend it to read, the State Board of Game shall determine whether the hunting of brown bears within the McNeil River State Game Refuge should be prohibited. I think that what you accomplish there is a direction to the professional managers to have a look at that and determine whether or not they can manage the resource and the future resource values in a compatible fashion. What it will also do is allow for the continuing discussion to take place and whether or not this, in fact, is a deal breaker or a, I don't think it does grave harm to the proposal and yet keeps the thing moving. And Mr. Chairman, I would move it for the purposes of discussion.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question to the witness, if I may, through the chair. My question is, it's extremely difficult for people to get permits to go to McNeil River. Is that not true? To just view the bears?
Yes, Representative, that's true.
Well, if it's extremely difficult for people to get permits to go view them, how is it we hunt them?
If you would allow me. McNeil River's, River Falls is a very unique physiographic area and biological area. In other words, there's the falls, there's a short section of river, very short, where the bears concentrate in an extremely high density to avail themselves of chum salmon. Consequently, you couldn't tolerate unlimited opportunity to go view the bears because the human presence itself would disturb them from that seasonal attraction site. In fact, over the last 10 years, one of our employees, Larry Allmiller, has gone to great lengths to basically train those bears not to associate humans as a source of food or as a threat in that place. And consequently, you can view brown bears at an extremely short distance. Once those bears leave that area, as Mr. Grasser pointed out, they are just as wild of a bear as any bear, and they disperse over a broad area. We've documented movements of 20, 30 miles or more to different drainages. So the opportunity to view and the difficulty with obtaining permits is not a function of a shortage of bears, but rather the unique circumstance where everyone is in close proximity with the bears.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, you know, I am sure that I have seen the same McNeil River bear on several TV commercials that does not relate to Alaska at all. I mean, it looks like somebody just plucked that same McNeil River bear out and put it in their TV commercials. So I know it is the same bear. But my daughter got a permit to go there to hunt with the camera those bears this year. And she is a wildlife photographer, and she's thrilled. And I'd hate to know that people are out there killing these bears. I really would.
Representative, that population of bears, there's no way that, given the wide movement patterns of brown bears, there is really no way that I could guarantee the security of any individual bear. And that it would be irrelevant whether or not we prevented or prohibited hunting in the refuge itself, because the bears move far beyond those boundaries. It's not a possibility. I understand what you're saying, but it's not possible. The best we can do is do a good job of population management, which I maintain we have done, and create the special circumstances that exist at McNeil River Falls to perpetuate that viewing opportunity. And that's the best we can do, to be perfectly honest.
Thanks.
Is there objection to the amendment as proposed? Amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would now move that we pass out CS for HB 306 finance with individual recommendations.
Thanks for the opportunity.
As amended.
The finance, yes, yes.
And with the fiscal notes, is there objection? Without objection, so moved. Next. Okay, I want to announce that House Bill 4 will be referred to a subcommittee. I understand there are some amendments to be proposed to House Bill 4, and I will ask any member of the committee, of the Finance Committee, who has amendments that they'd like to offer to propose those amendments at subcommittee. The subcommittee will be Representative Kopanen, Representative Brown, and Representative Barnes.
What are we amending now?
The Ethics Act. To have it back to us by Thursday. Anyone else who'd like to participate is welcome. Senate Bill 163 will hold over until Thursday. It'll be and House Bill 248 will hold over until Thursday.
That's it.
And without objection, committee meeting is adjourned.